This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. My name is Tim Quackenbush, and this week on the Compass, we'll get to know our candidates for the Port Townsend City Council positions 1 and 5, starting with position 5 candidates Tyler Vega and Libby Wernstrom, then moving to position 1 candidates Ben Thomas and Cameron Jones. Who are they? Why are they running? They're here to tell you. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for joining us here on the KPTZ Compass. I know Zoom makes things a little more difficult, and just so the audience knows, I have two candidates, Ben Thomas, representing position 1, and Libby Wernstrom, representing position 5, and hopefully the other two candidates will be joining us soon. We will see. Either way, we are going to continue. And thank you so much again for running for these positions and keeping a healthy democracy alive here in Port Townsend. Libby Wernstrom, I would like to start with you and flip the order from the last League of Women Voters forum. And so I'd like to start with just one question that floats around every time I think about people that run for positions such as these in the city council, and here it is. Did you have a defining moment in which you decided to run for office? Do you remember that moment? What can you tell us about it?
I wouldn't say I had a single defining moment. It's something that I'd thought about for a long time, and I'd actually been asked a few years ago if I'd consider it, but at the time I still had kids at home and I didn't feel like I had time. My mother was on city council, not really when I was growing up, but just after and for years. So this, I was familiar with what was involved. And I guess I'd always had in the back of my head that that was something that I could use the skills and experiences I had to help this community. So this time when there were 3 open seats that weren't having incumbents running again, it seemed like a good time to step in.
Well, thank you for that. And during your time in Port Townsend, can you point to a previous decision by the city council that you've particularly admired, or even one that you've disliked?
Ooh. I guess I've been pleased to see the city council stepping up and I know it feels like slow going sometimes, but recognizing that our housing crisis and our living wage crisis and are basically trying to take a formal direction of the kind of community that we want to be. Do we want to just become Aspen or Sedona, where no one who works here can afford to live here? Or do we want to chart a different course? And I think it's hard to pinpoint specific decisions because I think this is an ongoing process. But I think the direction that I've heard for a long time from this council is, no, we want to do things differently. And you see that reflected in a lot of small things too, about doing something differently. You know, this is a community that really values arts funding. This is a community, and that plays out in a ton of tiny ways, from, you know, school plays getting funding and, you know, community courses or Rain Shadow getting funding, or the summer band getting funding. And that's all coming from lodging taxes. That rather than just saying we're just a tourist economy, it's like, how can we use that to help create the kind of community that drew tourists here in the first place and keep that community alive?
Well, thank you, Libby. And we are joined by Tyler Vega, also running for position 5. Welcome, Tyler.
Hey, thanks. Sorry I'm late. I had some technical issues.
I know how that is. We all have lives. And I still thank you very much for being here right now. And Tyler, I'll ask you the same questions I asked Libby Wernstrom, starting with, was there a defining moment in which you decided to run for office? Do you remember that moment or anything about it?
It's actually a pretty complicated question. I decided I would run for local office. It was like 6 years ago. There was this kind of, you know, this whole Bernie Sanders movement that they kind of rose up, and everybody realized that they really wanted to dive into politics together as a team, so to speak. And I knew then that I would run for as local office as possible. But first, I was going to deal with the task at hand, which was talking about superdelegates, which I keep on bringing up. I know it might be getting old to some people. But yes, the defining moment was it was one of those big rallies where we kind of still in the honeymoon phase of this Bernie Sanders revolution. And everybody was saying, look, we need to get all these people involved. We all need to run for local office. And we all said, you know, and a bunch of us said, yeah, okay, I'll run for an office. And then, and we shuffled into various directions and we challenged the superdelegates. And then the idea was to scale it down until eventually you run for a city council or whatever, dog catcher in some cases, literally.
Well, thank you, Tyler Vega. In the short time that we have on our little news magazine here, doesn't give us the full breadth that perhaps you've had in other forums, but you have been busy. All of the candidates have been busy. They've been asked the tough questions. They've been interviewed in the newspaper. And so I will ask one policy question of each of you, and that is this. And I'll start with Tyler Vega on this one. The agreement with the Port Townsend paper mill regarding the Olympic gravity water system was delayed until the end of 2021. This agreement will decide the future of the Port Townsend water supply for up to the next 100 years. Are there any specific protections or benefits to the city that you expect to be included in this agreement, especially in light of predicted climate disruption? You, Tyler Vega.
I like what I've heard. Specific things I would like to see protected. I think I would want to see. My understanding is that right now, it's all handled to where we get it. We get it at cost where it arrives at our city, which is great. And I would think that if we're going to have an ongoing agreement, that should be a part of it. The question is too complex. I mean, it's 100 years forward. It's almost too complex to imagine in this moment because it is so, that's our water and it's coming here. And, you know, a lot of my ideas around how can we not be contingent upon a single water source, even though it is a great water source. So, I think that my best answer is that I would want to see the same agreement be the case. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Tyler. On to you, candidate Wernstrom. Same question.
It's as Tyler said, it's a complicated question. One of the things that I want to see in place, and I know people have struggled on this, is that designation of the Little Quill watershed that we get our water from is part of what's protecting that area from logging. That's kind of an ongoing thing that if we weren't taking a municipal water system from there, that Forest Service land that we're getting our water from probably would be a candidate for logging. And we, as such, as a city, we're kind of helping preserve our own watershed. It's a complicated thing because if the city were to not reach an agreement with the mill, which I think they will do, and just to be clear, I think this decision is going to get made before any of us take office. The goal is to have that decided before the end of December. But if the city were for some reason to not reach an agreement with the mill, the city is potentially looking at a multi-million dollar over many year maintenance thing for a resource that it can't really afford to replace, but is legally obligated to maintain. So I think it's really in the city's and the drinking water consumers' best interest to try to keep that going, just because otherwise our water rates would be insane. And most of when you pay your high water bill, the cost right now is not from the water, it's from the sewer, just to be clear on that. The wastewater treatment is the bulk of the cost in your large water bill if you live in the city. So I guess in terms of protections, I'd like to see that watershed protection stay in place. I'd like to see joint maintenance. The mill uses far, far more water than the city does. And so I think it's perfectly reasonable saying the mill is going to continue as it has for the past 80 something years to be maintaining that system. And I also want to have kind of a 100-year mindset of how do we start a maintenance and replacement that we're getting ahead of the curve rather than waiting for things to fail and then having a crisis. So trying to get into an ongoing maintenance mindset, which is always harder to get funding for.
Thank you, Libby Wernstrom. And I'll move on to the next question, beginning with Libby Wernstrom. And this is regards, I suppose it's the workload that you take on when you accept one of these positions, when you're elected into one of these positions. It's it's mind-boggling, frankly, when you look at the boards and the commissions that each city council member is attached to. And in my latest look at that, it ranges between 3 boards and commissions to 6 for each city council member. Is there any board or commission that you feel particularly well suited for or that you would love to be on?
Actually, somebody just asked me this question the other day. And I think the way the council just revamped their boards and kind of did some consolidation, the two that I'm particularly interested in and that I think I'd bring a lot of value to are infrastructure and development and finance and budget. And that's 2 boards, not 4. They're each a sort of an and this and that. And then infra and development, I'm particularly interested in that kind of long-term thinking of how do we get out of always being reaction mode and start making, you know, 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plans that we can act on and develop funding sources for and move forward. And in terms of finance and budget, I've got a lot of experience doing budgeting for large projects in the private sector and in working for nonprofits. And so I just think I'd bring some expertise and that kind of spreadsheet reading, nerdy, fine-tooth comb that is always useful.
Thank you, Candidate Wernstrom. Same question to you, Tyler Vega.
Yeah, I think the no-brainer is arts. My strong suit is music, but I think I'm more attracted actually to infrastructure and to transportation are where I feel like, you know, my voice, the things that I really want to bring to the table are, I would steer away from a budget. That's not my bag. That's my answer.
Oh, well, very good. We have a couple minutes left. I'm trying to split this Compass News segment into 2 equal parts, one for you in position 5 and one for the candidates in position 1. So I'll use this this extra time for each of you to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came here, why you're doing this. And the purpose of this particular Compass segment is so that the listening public can get to know you better. Many of them already do. For those that don't, what would you like to say to them, beginning with you, Libby Wernstrom?
Sure. I've lived here for 23 years. A lot of you know me from work for a variety of nonprofits. When my kids were little, that was mostly how I was earning a living. I worked for Wooden Boat Foundation, worked for the Land Trust, worked for Marine Science Center, wore a lot of different hats. I was the executive director for the farmers market. I was a reporter for The Leader. And I was a single mom, and a lot of times I had 3 jobs just to try to make a living here. And my kids are grown now. I'm a blended family. My youngest stepson is 20, and my oldest son is 27. So I felt like it was really valuable having this be a great place to raise a family. And this seems like a time in my life where I've got some time and energy to put back into trying to help keep it that way for somebody like Ben, who has tiny little kids now, as well as for all the other people who are living here and were drawn here. I moved here from Portland. I'd been down there for about 17 years before that, but I'm originally from upstate New York.
Thank you. Tyler Vega.
Yeah, I'm 44, moved here 7 years ago to be with my partner. I'm born and raised in Seattle, been around this neck of the woods. My stomping grounds is kind of Northern California up into BC. My children are Canadian, 2 kids, 9 and 12. I have them a third of the time. I'm a computer guy. I just launched a nonprofit in town that I'm hoping to partner with OliCap to serve a wide range of IT needs from, older folks who are trying to keep up to younger folks who are trying to become the next generation of IT professionals. I run for a lot of reasons, but it's really about this, the waking up of the generation of apathy. I speak of my generation, that gets complicated, but we ignored politics. We hated it. Everything from superdelegates to, the kind of just angst that you deal with in politics, because it's about what you disagree with. And we all decided we wanted to run. And it's really about, an evolution of our times and of our species. And as the, as younger people rise up and do that, and I'm not excluding anybody in this room from that, as the generation changes and the power shifts throughout the, you know, the generations, as well as, you know, across genders and across, you know, racial barriers, all these different barriers that we all struggle with. We need to be, you know, be very forthrightly injecting new ideas and getting new people into the system who will bring new ideas. Permaculture, you know, a lot of people in this town still have to look up permaculture. What does that mean? What does that mean in an urban setting? You know, does it go as far as composting toilets? Does it, you know, water catchment, basic systems that will allow us to deal with things like climate change resilience, as well as things like jobs. And I can see one. Yeah, okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Libby Rostrom and Tyler Vega, candidates for City Council Position 5. And if I could ask you to stick around, if we have time at the end, we may just have some fun with questions. We'll see how that goes. I am just joined, I hope, by Cameron Jones. Ben Thomas is here looking at me. I see him as we speak. And so we'll move on to questions for Position 1. Beginning with Ben Thomas. Ben Thomas, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to ask some similar questions and maybe some of the same questions for you, just so that the audience can get to know you just a little bit more. I'll start with the same question that I asked our Position 5 candidates. Was there a defining moment in which you decided to run for office? Do you remember that moment? Do you remember anything about it?
Well, I think the defining moment is a little bit separated from the decision to run for this particular office. The defining moment, like it was a visceral moment for me, was honestly was watching the January 6th, whatever you want to call it, at the Capitol in D.C. And it was pretty alarming to watch how far people had gotten from each other, the artificial gap that developed between people. And it doesn't, you know, there's no side is winning when they're both fighting. You know, that's the way I look at it. So I thought, like, we have to look at it a little differently, even locally. I think that this is mostly a national issue, and it shows up at the state level, and less so, like, within Fort Townsend. But I think it's still here. There's a gap between people would self-identify to different words for these things, but, you know, maybe the elites and the regular people or something. You know, I don't want to use inflammatory language because I don't really feel it that way about it. It's more like just there's a gap there that I'm not comfortable seeing. And so I got interested in sort of looking around at how to get involved more. And then somebody reached out to me and said, the city council's, we need more. There's nobody signed up yet nobody had voiced threw their hat in the ring yet. So they said you should check that out and do it. And so I did. And here we are now. But it's really to kind of create a little bit more of a cohesion going forward, to get, you know, working together, trying to find win-win people from some different backgrounds, especially try to figure out how diversity can be a positive and something we want versus something people fear, and how maybe a little working with the new people that are coming to town and us old timers that grew up here, working together to create something better than the sum of the parts. I guess that's always the goal.
Thank you so much. And Zoom presents particular challenges when we do something like this live. And I do not see Cameron Jones on my screen. So I'm going to assume that he won't be joining us. If he does, we'll give him, if possible, as much equal time as we can, given the circumstances. But right now we have you, Ben Thomas. You're running for Position 1 city council seat in Port Townsend. During your time in Port Townsend, can you point to a previous decision by the city council that you particularly admired or even that you disliked?
I should have a better answer for this. I haven't really looked at it that way, because I always assume that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than I can see. And, it, you know, I have been speaking behind the scenes a lot lately. I get involved with the city council. I started, and we would go to the city council meetings and are more somewhat sardonic, but also try to be serious take on how the meeting. So we got to see behind the scenes a little bit there, and that was really fascinating. There was some stuff I would not repeat again. I can't think of any particular decisions they made that I had a particular issue with. It's been so long. But more recently, I guess I feel like there's a positive trend going and maybe not enough action on some of the biggest and most urgent and important topics like affordable housing. There is a lot of action right now, but I feel like maybe that could have been more earlier on that. And that's, I know it's a vague answer to your more specific question, but I guess that's how I'm looking at it right now. I'm not trying to get into the weeds with their every decision at the moment.
Of course. And you're, just so you know, the audio quality is less than perfect now.
Sorry.
I'm not sure if there's anything you can do about that.
The cell tower stopped working.
Ben, I hope you're still there. But I will stay with you, Ben Thomas, and with another question. What do you think are the areas of infrastructure the city should be paying attention to prepare for the challenges of the future?
Well, I know this is coming up more and more, and I'm glad to hear it, but broadband is obviously going to be important to make sure our local people are competitively advantaged, or at least not disadvantaged against the rest of society. You know, can you hear me, by the way?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So there's more and more people having businesses, working from a distance. We're Zoom here right now. We're talking about broadband, and I'm cutting in and out, and I'm right next to the router, so I don't know. Maybe I'm too close. I had to run in because the cell tower stopped working. I was outside in my car. I'm at work, so trying to hide in certain corners here. But that's a good example to me. Like with a windstorm, almost every time we have a windstorm, we lose internet. You know, that's probably not a major infrastructure issue. It's maybe more the particular provider, but in the big picture, that would be one that I think is something has a lot of room to grow. And I know there's some movement on it, and I'd like to keep pushing that forward.
Well, thank you for that answer. And it's well illustrated by this conversation right now, frankly. And we're speaking with Ben Thomas, a candidate for position one. The vote is occurring on November 2nd. I probably have time for another question to you, Ben Thomas. Just a short question, and then I'll let anybody make any kind of closing statement that you want, a brief closing statement. Do you have any network of friends or organizations that you rely upon for advice related to the issues you will inevitably be tasked with voting upon?
That's a good question. First, I want to say, I know Cameron knows about this, so he's probably having a hard time getting connected too, because he actually reached out to me to make sure that I knew about it. So I appreciated that from him. So he wanted to make sure I was included. So I don't know why. Maybe he's just having a hard time getting connected. Maybe the wind actually really does make a big difference around here. Anyway, so your answer. I haven't really done any campaigning. I've been focusing on talking to local leaders and experts, and that's what I want to continue into the future. Basically, interview people every week, kind of interview a new kind of touch into my background in kind of journalism, guerrilla journalism, but interview a new person every week who's an expert in a field and try to gain some knowledge and reach out to people. So I am kind of building a little network of people that have been around for a long time and newer people to town who know more than I do about the issues. And I think that's something I'll be able to tap into. I'm not going to wing it. You know, there's no sense in having me wing every issue. I don't know everything, but I do have a local perspective. I guess maybe I can say that from the soul part of it. I feel like I can speak to that pretty well, but even then you want to talk to different people in different areas of town, different income levels, different backgrounds to find that information as well.
Well, thank you, Ben Thomas. Around the table, starting with you, Tyler Vega, we have about maybe 1 minute for you. We're in the, I don't want to say the waning days of this campaign, but definitely towards the end of it. It's been a long slog for all of you, I'm sure, beginning with the primaries. Is there anything that you would like to say to the listening audience about the choice they make on November 2nd?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting race. And I think that I would draw people's attention to kind of the macrocosm of the microcosm, that there is that the left is getting more complex, and that we are in a place where we have to figure out how to make a broken two-party system work with more than two parties, with more than two mindsets, with more than 10 mindsets. And, you know, Libby and I, if you line us up on the issues and our long-term goals, you know, we'll line up on I mean, 80 plus at least, conservatively 80 plus things. We come from very different wings of the left, and we're very different versions of diversity. You know, I'm mixed race. She's a woman. And I say all this with respect. I hope that's clear that I don't mean any disrespect, that we are on different sides of, you know, in two different factions within the left. But it is a clear, it is a very distinct difference, who we are and how we approach things. So that's just, you know, that's what I've been bringing to the table the whole time, is this idea that there is that diversity. And I actually, you know, the reason I'm running is to bring that voice, which is, I believe, underrepresented, to the table.
Well, thank you, Tyler Vega. You, Libby Wernstrom, same question. Yes.
Can you repeat the question?
The question is, in 60 seconds or less, is there anything else that you would like the listening audience to know about you as they go to the polls, as a person, perhaps?
Sure. I mean, the first is, you don't need to wait till November 2nd. Most people have their ballots already. You can turn them in any time. Earlier makes less work for your elections officials. So get them in. There's drop boxes all over the county and at the courthouse. I guess the second is just, these are nonpartisan races, and they're primarily about the nuts and bolts of getting the day-to-day work done of running the city. And I feel like I've got the skills and the experience and the background and the sort of willingness to sit through hours of mind-numbing meetings to do that kind of day in, day out messy work that democracy entails, and that kind of commitment to transparency and decision making, even if it takes 5 hours. So I'd encourage people to vote for me. I think I've got what it takes to be a good city council person.
Thank you, Libby Wernstrom. Ben Thomas, same question. I can repeat it if you need me to.
No, I think I can go off that. The cable just went down, so I'm switched back to cellular. So, so I guess what I want people to think about, like in two hands, I would say on one hand, a good listener who really wants to reach out to the local community, find those win-win solutions that different people can work on, and, you know, listen to what are the problems people feel like they're having, and find solutions there. And then the other hand is to somewhat be a visionary as much as I can to how, beyond this generation into the future generations, how will this town look? How will it be? And will it be viable? Will it be a relic, or will it be something that people are still excited about 40, 50 years from now?
Well, thank you so much, Ben Thomas, Libby Wernstrom, Tyler Vega, and also Cameron Jones, that you are, I know you're out there somewhere and would have joined us if at all possible, but here in spirit. And I would like to say to all of these candidates, the respectful and civil manner in which you've all conducted your campaign is truly evident. Win or lose, you have our gratitude. We can still do this, and I thank you very much. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon and repeats on Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to the podcast of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ in Port Townsend, I'm Tim Quackenbush.
Port Townsend City Council candidate from District 1, Cameron Jones, who was unable to join this live episode of KPTZ Compass, has been offered an equal time opportunity to talk with KPTZ host Tim Quackenbush on his regular program, Discovery Road, which airs this Thursday from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Please tune in then.